everyone. This is the 73rd podcast of Red Spotlight Entertainment. I'm Alexis Soto, filling in for Kyle Lira, who is away visiting the Vatican of Disney.
Mecca.
He is literally Mecca. He's literally at the Walt Disney Family Museum. So that's where he is right now, in San Francisco, of all places. And no, I was not invited. I got stuck here hosting this podcast. So here I am. I am joined here by Peter Martinez, who never ceases to amaze me with how many times he's here. How are you, Peter?
Alive.
He's watching Stranger Things. Oh, God.
What's
okay. Great. I'm also joined here by special guests, apparently. Nettie Valdez is here alongside Eric Wong. These are two of our best friends, and I thought it'd be interesting to have them on for a show. How are you guys?
Alive.
We're doing
Oh, my
better.
God. Okay. Well, that's good, because apparently there was some kind of allergy episode that happened.
Things get worse, and then they get better, and then it's going to get worse again.
Yeah, because it took 2 hours just to get a pair of headphones.
But we didn't have to pay for any.
Hey.
For $14 7-Eleven headphones.
Dude.
$14?
Yeah. That's the cheapest one.
That was the cheapest one.
The cheapest was 14?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went up to like 27 for 7-Eleven brand.
Oh,
maybe they're
God.
Really good.
Well, maybe.
Thanks, Obama.
Where did you send them, Peter? Seriously,
it was a normal 7-Eleven. I don't know what's going on.
That's really interesting. Okay, guys, so today we have a stacked list. I'm going to quickly run through what we're talking about. So, the premiere episode of Stranger Things Season 2. Also, Regal Cinemas considering hiking prices for movies that are better. Okay. Wonder Woman Oscar talk. James Mangold apparently working on an X-23 film. The Raid director doing Deathstroke in the DCEU. Zachary Levi getting cast as Shazam in the DCEU. Maybe, maybe not. Justice League, is it tracking well as the embargo and how we feel about it? The early reactions for Disney and Pixar's Coco. I'll review quickly the abysmal 8th season premiere of The Walking Dead. And then we will go into a showdown of November to see who will win the box office, Justice League or Coco, and many, many more things on Red Spotlight number 73. Insert title here. I am just that lazy. We've all seen the premiere of the second season. We're not going to give a full season review because I know Kyle wants to. I think he's probably the biggest fan of Stranger Things out of all of us, so I think he's probably going to want to review the show. So we've all seen
really?
The first episode of season two. I think so. I mean,
okay.
I like it. I don't love it.
No, I just didn't know he liked it that much.
Yeah, he does.
He does?
He does? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I know he actually likes.
Does.
Well, I was going to say in love. No. But he thinks Millie Bobby Brown is a really good actress. He wanted her to be a Leia.
He suggested a Leia live action film with Millie Bobby Brown playing Leia and Patty Jenkins directing it, which is like cancerous.
And then
to
I
Peter.
Threw up, and then, yeah. So let's continue.
Let's continue. Okay, so very quickly, can I get you guys' thoughts on, very quickly, on the first season of Stranger Things? Were you a big fan? Do you have any negatives? I'll go with you first, Nettie.
Why me?
Because you're Nettie. I don't know.
I liked it, but I didn't like it nearly as much as everybody else did. I think the biggest reason that, I don't even know if it's true or not, but the biggest reason that a lot of people liked it is more because, like, the aesthetic and the 80s and all that, and they're not really, maybe they're just not used to it. I don't know. Because I know with this one that they really pushed it, like,
the 80.
They really pushed it on that first episode, and it's just, I don't know, I think, I don't like it as much as everybody else does, but I did like
it. But you still enjoyed
it. Yeah,
that.
I did enjoy it.
What did you like most about it?
That it's in the 80s?
I guess. I don't know. What did you like about it?
I like that it seemed a little bit more goofy than I was expecting. I've never seen Stranger Things. The first thing that I saw was the recap season thing. So I feel like...
Oh my God, really?
Isn't it great that Netflix does this?
I feel like I watched the whole season and I didn't have to waste my time. So
I love that Netflix does those because I feel like more people would jump into shows if they could just have recaps.
Yeah, and
there's
then,
a lot of shows I want to jump into, but it's like I gotta see five seasons. Screw that.
Yeah, it's like don't waste my time. I know I have to watch a new season to keep up with everyone else. Let's just do this.
Mm-hmm. I think it, like the actors that they like the child actors, they're pretty damn good.
They're not little shits. I like that.
Yeah.
How dare you talk bad about this show? Go to hell. No. I really liked it. Start off with the negatives. I didn't like the opening. If it was like those weird hipsters robbing a bank.
Oh, dude, that pissed me off too. I didn't even watch it. Pissed me off.
Wait.
We're
Peter,
talking about the first one, Peter.
Yeah, you're for the first season. Quickly, you're over.
Oh, the first season.
Yeah, first one.
Oh, okay.
I was getting ready to shit on things with Peter.
Yeah.
I know. We'll get there. No, I actually really like. I really like. Oh, guys. Oh shit! I put it back. I got the VHS of Stranger Things, and I really enjoyed it. I do think a lot of it does have to do like people like it because of the nostalgia. But like I was telling Alexis before you guys got here, I think it does nostalgia right because it wraps it in an original story with really well done and well rounded characters. So. As a whole, I think it's a really great series.
Can I ask you guys? I agree with pretty much everything that's been said here, but like, can I ask you guys what do you think what it was about this show that was just it made it a phenomenon?
80s nostalgia, kid actors, because that's all the rage, and sort of this. The monster, spooky monster thing. Yeah. Because horror movies are really killing it at the box office.
This year, these past 2 years, horror movies are on the rise.
Never would I have thought that would happen.
So, right? So I think it came at a perfect time. Plus, it takes those things and it does them really well.
You know, what's interesting about that is a lot of those things could be said about It. And why that was so successful.
That's exactly why It made all that money. That's 120% why.
So, yeah, I think we all liked the show a lot. And obviously, there are a lot of people who were really crazy for it. So, but we've all had the chance to see bits and pieces of season two. We're going to focus primarily on the premiere. Mm-hmm. Be advised that there will be spoilers for the first episode, but given the fact that this will be uploaded on Sunday, most of you will already have seen the entire season. So,
yeah,
you know, that's how it goes.
If I wasn't doing this, I would have finished the season by now.
Yeah, sorry, we had to burden you, Peter. Okay, go ahead, go into what you were diving into with the whole bank robbing opening scene.
Oh, I'm not that far in, so I don't know how it plays in, but I could probably guess how it plays in because she has the 8, like, oh, there's more than 11. Which kind of reminded me of 626 and Lilo and Stitch, and it's like, oh, where are the other experiments? It's like the Lilo and Stitch series.
He hasn't even seen Stranger Things, and he knew, I bet she has superpowers.
I bet she's like number 7, and then it's like number 8, and I was like, damn, I was one off.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But also, they just like, I didn't like, it just, it was shot weird. It didn't feel like it was in the 80s. It's like these weird hipster people.
It felt like a different show.
It felt like I don't know if they had someone else direct it, but it's like, I don't like this. But right afterwards, I really liked it. I liked that they added new characters. I like the continuation of, like, not everyone is okay. It's not just back to normal. Like, people are kind of traumatized.
At first, it has that impression. Mm-hmm. Of course, justice for Bart. But first, it kind of gives off this impression that they have moved on. But as the episode unfolds, there is still a lot of lingering, there's a lot of things that clearly have not been resolved. And obviously with Will, the kid that got kidnapped by the Demogorgon last season, it just seems like he's just worsening. And I don't know, are these like visions or is he actually being transported into the Upside Down? What do you think is at play there?
Well, I won't spoil it, but yes, he is actually there.
Oh, okay. So you have... Okay. Because I've only seen the first or so episode, so...
The joke was I did spoil it.
You kind of already did, but okay. All right. Talos, let me see here. They really are doing something interesting with, I guess, justice for Barb. the parents, apparently. What is happening there?
Nobody wants to tell them that she's dead, and they can't, because then they have to say all that other nonsense.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's also a big thing. Did you guys, because that really wasn't touched at all in the finale of season one. Do you guys like the whole, like, the whole or the reasoning for how this is all swept under very quickly? Did you buy into that?
Yeah.
Yeah? I thought it worked out really well. And then also how Eleven found her way back from the Upside Down. And then did you guys think that Hopper was harboring her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, right away, yeah.
It was pretty obvious. So, yeah, guys, go ahead and tell us anything else that stood out to you.
I think that this is Winona Ryder's perfect role, just because she is kind of like kooky in real life. And to play this mom who's constantly stressed out, like, where's my son? I think it works perfectly for her. I'm happy that they brought Rudy in.
Yeah. I love Rudy. I was so excited. I was like, it's Mikey from the Goonies, dude.
I was like, that's cool. Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, I love how they bring in new characters. And I kind of didn't expect that. I expected the same, except going forward. But they brought in the bad boy. Yeah. And the bad boy's little sister.
How do you feel about them?
He's so bad. the little girl I like. I like the idea of throwing another girl into the, like, little kid's dynamic.
Yes.
I feel like the bad boy, I feel like what's her name is just going to be stupid and hook up with the bad boy guy. And then it's going to be more drama. Not what happens.
Oh,
Nancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I do like that, because a lot of people were really angry at her for kind of dissing Barb, and I guess she was the reason that she got killed. So it is nice that Nancy is, like, really, like, a year later, she's
feeling guilty instead of making out with everybody.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
How she copes.
I didn't even know anything, and I was like, this girl seems kind of like a bitch. I'm not gonna lie. Like,
I will say she kind of is more this season.
Her boyfriend got better.
No, like, I'm on season three, and in the first season, I hated her boyfriend.
Season three.
No, two. Episode three.
Damn, Peter's in the future.
With certain substances, anyone can be in the future. No, but in the first season, I was like, don't you get with him, Nancy, how dare you? And then this season, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, be nice to him. Like, he's actually really cool, trying to be a good boyfriend, and you're being
I hated that character. Like, honestly, I liked Nancy a lot in the first season. I could not stand the boyfriend. I was with you. I was like,
he's a cool guy now.
Because he's going to graduate. He's leaving.
He's like, I need to be an adult. I need to think about insurance and life and jobs. You need to stop drinking and being a whole.
It's so sad that people that we know that wanted to be adults couldn't have been that nice. But, you know, I guess that happens every now and then.
I mean, for other people, they just get worse. But
we should have a shade counter for Alexis. There's like a little ding that goes off every time he throws shade at someone.
Well, I don't think we want to have noise effects if Kyle's going to be on the show, because then he's just going to push buttons.
Boing! That's another shade right there.
Well, that wasn't really shade. That was a direct insult, but, you know, you can take it however you want. Anything else? Do you guys, how is this comparing so far to the first season? Nettie and Peter.
I'm liking it.
Eric?
I prefer the first season. It was much quicker. It was about like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I prefer it overall. They cut all the fat out. It gave me
True. They streamlined it.
That's all I wanted.
I think it's less focused than the first season, but I think there's more going on. So I think it's a great first episode. I'll put it that way.
I don't know if what I... Okay, I'm not going to base my judgments of what I saw on the internet, but apparently... I think it's like a fan fiction that Kyle wrote or something. I don't fucking know.
Oh, God. You know, we try not to mention that on the show, but...
No, I don't mean like that. No. I heard that, like, the Arrow shows up and the Flash. I don't know if that's true. I don't think they're the Arrow and the Flash, but maybe their actors show up. I don't fucking know. Maybe that would be
Where
interesting.
Where did you read that at?
On the internet. The internet's always right.
Okay. I don't think that's true, but okay.
What if I am right? What if, like, you're hearing it now and it sounds ridiculous, but it happens? What if it happens?
I don't know.
We have to watch to see. What if they do? What if they have a dance battle, like, at the end of the episode?
It's getting ridiculous.
What if everything...
Back to the point. Continue.
Eric, do you like this show?
Yeah, it's alright. Like...
Sorry.
Yeah. It's not bad. Like, I was interested. Like, I tried to watch the first season with Nettie, and I was like, what is this bullshit? And I went to sleep. But, like, now watching this...
Kind of like Baby Driver.
No, he actually wanted it.
I wanted to watch Baby Driver, but, like, I got home and I drank a little bit, and then I was like, I'm tired. And then they watched the SpongeBob movie. It was a whole mess, dude.
He fell asleep. Anyway.
Baby Driver was good, though, from what I saw.
Okay. All right. So make sure to catch Stranger Things Season 1 on Netflix, and we'll be back next week with a full breakdown and spoiler-filled review. Let's move on to this really interesting story happening. I think I shared the article with you guys. So Regal Cinemas, I think we're all familiar with, mm-hmm. has this new strategy that they're going to unveil pretty soon about basically having us pay more money for tickets pay more for tickets of movies that are more, what's the word, critically successful than those that are not. So essentially from what I was reading is, the plan is, let's compare Star Wars The Last Jedi to something like Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. One will be critically acclaimed, one was critically bashed. So by that standard, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets would maybe cost, I don't know, let's say $5 to go in, and then Star Wars would cost like $25 a ticket. Because it's more popular, it's more better reviews, you'd be paying more for that. How do you guys think of this, number one, and how do you think this is going to affect the system?
I think that it's kind of unfair, just because, like, sometimes the ones that aren't so critically acclaimed or whatever, sometimes those are like you said, like little hidden gems or whatever, and they're actually pretty good, but because the price is lower, people will automatically assume, like, this isn't a good movie, so I'm not going to go see it. Sometimes. Some people are like that. Like, the price is lower, so not as good. And then, obviously, the more expensive it is, I mean, that's something to deter you from watching it, but then they know, well, I'm going to get what I'm paying for, kind of thing.
Well, I'll just say for me, I mean, the movies that I watch on a proportionate rate are, and 8 out of 10 times they're great, or they're good, then they're not. And basically, I would be paying so much more for basically every movie I've seen this year.
But you're paying for
than
quality.
I already have. You're paying for quality, but it's like also you're raising ticket prices. I don't think anybody likes that.
No.
You know how much a ticket costs in San Diego?
Well, it doesn't matter for me.
That other Regal is $5 all day long, so just go to that one. Every day.
Which Regal?
The one that's by the Costco in Chula Vista. That one's always $5 mm-hmm. every day, all day.
Really?
Yeah.
I think this is stupid because it's this over-reliance on reviews, and again, it just kind of
rotten
says...
Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't like Rotten Tomatoes. I trust IMDb more than Rotten Tomatoes.
It doesn't matter. There's so many great films that all of us love that are probably rotten on Rotten Tomatoes, and I just don't think that films... that movie reviews should determine whether a film is worthy or not.
Or less expensive or more expensive.
Or less expensive or more expensive. Because, again, people are so subjective. There's a lot of films I think are complete absolute shit that people love and they want to go see. And then there's films that I want to see that other people might not like. It all depends on the kind of people and the kind of movie experience you want to have. I can kind of understand if it's like more movie money for the blockbuster ones. Maybe. But even then, I think it's ridiculous. I honestly think it should just be whatever your set ticket price is, and then that's the way it is for all films.
Do you think this is a response to MoviePass? Because you have that now, Peter.
I have MoviePass, yes. I've used it twice now.
You've seen Happy Death Day?
And Jigsaw.
And Jigsaw. And yes. How were those? First of all, would you have gone to see those if you didn't have MoviePass?
Probably. But there's other films I'll probably use it for that I wouldn't have gone and used it with. I'm loving it so far. It did take almost 2 months for me to get it, but it's working out great. I just pick a film. It's already with those two films I've seen. I've already made, like, money wise, it's already been worth it. Those two films within a month. It could be a response to that. But something's got to give because ticket prices are getting so damn expensive. So then that means that movie studios only put money into big blockbuster projects. So
that's already bad enough. That's already a bad enough epidemic happening.
But it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And then that's why you see people fleeing, because they're not getting the type of healthy filmmaking that they want to see at the movie theaters. It's the same crap. So they go to Netflix, where they can see shit like Mindhunter or American Vandal. So I think it's an attempt to get people back to the movie theaters. And I don't know.
Well,
I think it's a bad idea.
Here's an interesting question for Nettie, because she's also a director. The question I have for you is, do you think that this could negatively affect, aspiring directors that can't make their movies because they're not, those kind of movies just don't make nearly enough money as blockbusters do?
Yep. That's kind of what I was talking about, like, in the beginning. Like, if they're not really as well known because you don't hear about them or whatever, then you're not going to go, like, I don't know. But either way, that's kind of how it already is.
But so, I think it
but
can
it'll
hurt
make it,
it
worse.
Because, it, like, yeah. Let's say, like, La La Land, like, that was this big Oscar push film. And then people are like, oh, I hear it's up for Best Picture. Let's go watch it. What? I got to pay an extra $3? Fuck that. Let me go see Transformers 5 instead. Because it has shitty reviews and it'll be a cheap ticket.
But a lot of people don't want to waste money on something that they're going to think is crap because it's cheaper.
But a lot of people don't want to spend any more than they already have to. Well, okay, that's it. Yeah, well, okay. But I get what you're saying, Eddie, and I agree with you. A lot of people don't want to spend money on something they know it's going to be bad. But at the same time, a lot of people, as we speak right now, are not going to the movie theater anymore. We had a story a couple weeks back at the end of the summer that movie theater the experience of...
I already know that. I know that. Trust me. I know. I studied it.
Theater going.
Yeah, it's the same. I know.
It's down.
But
it's
the people that you choose Alexis. To go...
Don't try to talk down
sound like
to her.
Tony. I'm just saying, like, I understand that. But the people that do go, because those are the people that consistently go. For example, you guys. You guys go to every fucking premiere that there is. Like...
Wow.
No, like, you're the type of people that
they're, you're the problem
that are going to continue.
What is with this you people?
You're the type of people that are going to continue to go to those movies because they are the movies that you're expecting them to be, and you're willing to pay the price for them because you know that they're going to be critically acclaimed and all this BS, and so you're going to watch them. This is directed to people like you that continue to go to the movie theaters.
Right, right. And so,
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. And obviously, this is Regal Cinemas, which is probably more of that kind of audience. Do you think other chains like Cinemark or AMC are going to copy this model if this is successful?
AMC's already expensive.
It already is. Like $17, I think.
Really?
Or actually, what? It depends on the area. Right here where I'm at in La Jolla, I'm pretty sure it's...
Oh, screw that.
It's like 15... Well, I mean, the what's it called? The ArcLight Theater is $17, but it depends on which one. There are AMCs in the San Diego area that are like
$5. Palm.
$14. Yeah. Just the palm that is $5.
Go to collect.
Let me put it this way: Blade Runner 2049, which is a film, at least me and Alexis, we really loved, and it made little to no money. Don't you think that they would have made even less money if, because it was critically acclaimed, which the film was, that they charged more for that film?
I mean, if people already had little interest in watching that movie and it was more expensive than they would, let's say, a Happy Death Day, that's what I'm saying. I think it could have a negative effect.
People would just go watch Happy Death Day.
Yeah, because it's cheaper. I just think in general, when you're talking about people, look, here we go with me talking about politics. People hate it when they said, I'm going to raise your taxes, but wouldn't you like free healthcare? Fuck that shit. You're going to raise my taxes. Go fuck yourself. People don't like to hear you're going to be paying more money.
They'll watch it on the internet like everybody else.
There it is.
Everyone should just... What I'm seeing now more than ever with like filmmakers that put stuff on like Dailymotion or YouTube or other free things that don't cost anything besides ad revenue that they get from people that watch their videos is that they're going this Chance the Rapper route where they're just like, I'm not going to make you pay for my thing, just watch it because then I get more publicity and that's better than getting money in the end because then eventually I get more well known. So when I do start making blockbuster films, I do make up the money there because you're eventually going to know who I am. Wait,
that's an interesting thing because we've actually been seeing a lot of stories this year like a Peter would recall this that WB somehow coerced Martin Scorsese to do a Joker film because Scorsese is having a hard time making any of his own movies. That's why he's going to Netflix because his movies are not making any money at the box office. What was the reason when he made Silence? That thing crashed and burned.
That's the shitty part because like I watched Silence and I would never watch Silence again because it is like a dragging, depressing ass movie. But damn if it wasn't an interesting ass movie to watch, was it not? Like, it was interesting, but it was depressing. Like, you watch it, and you're like, man, when is it going to get happy? And you're like, no, it's not, because it's Japan, and Japanese people are robots. And they are programmed to kill people in this era, so it's not going to be fun. And that's it. Like, you're not going to have fun watching this movie. Like, this is, like, a lesson. Like, Spider-Man isn't just going to shoot his, like, strings and, like, blast out of here like Peter Parker or some bullshit. He's going to die. And he dies. Spoilers.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. I had a response at some point, but then it got lost in there.
But I just keep adding on to things. Anyways, so Martin Scorsese, I feel like, is getting more experimental with his films. But no one wants experimental. Well,
the thing is, it's sad that we live in a day and age where Martin Scorsese, of all people, can't be allowed to make the movie he wants because his movies have not been doing that well at the box office.
Because people don't go to the movie theater to be challenged. They go to the movie theater to have a good time.
They
want guarantee. If they're dishing out like all this money because it gets more expensive, they want a guaranteed good time. Mm-hmm. So that's why they stick to their typical blockbuster bullshit that they know is going to give them that good time.
At what point is too much money? That's the thing. I don't know.
How much would you pay to watch a movie in the theaters? Like the max.
$5.
Yeah,
I agree.
I already pay $17 each time I go, and it's like sometimes I just don't. I just ignore it.
I do not have that luxury, Alexis.
Alexis, you need to check your privilege.
Yeah, I do not have that luxury at all.
Privilege. Okay. Wonderful.
Okay. Not happening.
It's okay. Well, that was an interesting conversation. All right, let's gonna move on to this next one. Peter, this is one that's close to your heart. Logan is getting a sequel. James Mangold, X-23, Daphne Keane, and it's all Patty Jenkins' fault. How do you respond? That was a pretty loaded question.
Is James Mangold directing?
He's developing the story.
If he directs, then I'm all in. I love it. Love it.
Really? Okay.
I loved Logan.
Daphne Keane.
Logan's probably my favorite film of the year. So, well, I don't know. But Daphne Keane was great. And if they make it, it obviously has to be a very different story. But if they just kind of let it be its own thing, which it looks like Fox is doing with their X-Men series, why not? Bring it on.
So that's how much confidence you have now with Fox Marvel. That I would think a story like this would bother you a year ago.
It's not like they're WB. Like
well, that's exactly how it is.
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah.
But I know enough about X-23 to know that there is a wealth of interesting things going on there that they could add on to.
Oh, okay.
But I have not seen Logan, but I've heard it's really good. So.
Well, you can see that on the Movies Anywhere thing that I gave you. So
oh,
it's on
nice.
There okay. If you want to see it. It's a honestly, it's one of the best movies of the year, if not the best. It's a really
I'll
great
probably
film.
Just fall asleep through Baby Driver again.
Yeah. Probably.
To be fair, that film was really slow. There was, like, no fast-paced anything going on in that film, to be fair.
I liked it, but, like, then I got
sleepy. It's a very slow burn.
Like, okay, I'm like a Nana. Like, I get sleepy when I watch movies. I can't help it. Like,
my Nana watches movies. Don't insult
me. Your Nana is a beast.
My Nana goes to Netflix all day.
Your guys' yeah. Nana are beasts.
You're worse than a Nana.
I'm like a Tata, then. Damn.
Anyways.
Justice League, Peter, and guys, Justice League is coming out. Justice League is happening, so we have a couple of figures to report. So, the box office tracking for the movie is currently set anywhere between $110 million to $120 million opening weekend, as well as a embargo date currently set for November the 15th, the day before it is released in theaters.
I don't watch any DC Universe BS. Well, like, okay, they have a track record, and it's that their movies are not that great from what I've heard from people. So,
have you seen Wonder Woman?
No, but I've heard conflicting things. I hear people that like it a lot, and people that are like, ah, it's alright.
Okay.
They're like, too much slow-mo, though. That's their big thing. I don't know. I'll probably like it, most likely.
Did you get any? Did you see any of the other ones, like Man of Steel, Suicide Squad, or BVS?
I saw The Dark Knight. I saw, like, the George Clooney Batman movies. They were interesting. They had that Seal song. The Kiss from
Rose. Oh, yeah, that was a good song.
That's a good song. Guy had the voice of the angel.
Did you see any of the DC films, the DCEU films at all?
Which ones? Name all of them, Alexis.
Suicide Squad, Man of Steel, BVS, Wonder Woman.
No.
No.
You seen none of them?
No.
I don't think so.
I saw Lego Batman.
No, I started Suicide Squad and then I was like, I don't know.
Why? What happened there? What happened? Why?
I think just the way it looked.
You watched BVS too and you're like, eh. You like 30 minutes of it, and you're like, I'm done.
I remember when we talked about BVS when it was coming out, and we were trashing it, and you're like, it looks fine.
It
I don't know what
like
you guys
it was gonna
are talking
be.
About.
I thought it was going to be okay, but then it just, it really wasn't.
The first trailer looked like it was like, oh, it's going to be epic, and then after that, it just kind of went, like, they got too edgy with it. That's the biggest problem. Like, stop being so, like, with the trailers, at least, it seems.
Maybe you're just a normie.
Oh, damn. I take that as an offense, Peter. Those them fighting words.
We're talking about the tracking, how much it's tracking for, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the tracking and how much it's going to open at the box office. And I think what Eric and Eddie were saying is because, look, they haven't themselves seen the movies. They've seen bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, they've heard the bad things that have been said about this film. And I think that's a direct correlation with what you're seeing, because I think by no means you can say that Justice League having $120 opening weekend is a good thing. This is the fucking Justice League. If the Avengers, both of the Avengers, can cross over 200 easily in its first weekend, if Deadpool and Suicide Squad can make 130 easily, BVS did 166. Honestly, at this point, it is alarming that it's tracking this low. I mean, I don't think for a second it's going to open that low. I think it'll, if the tracking is at 120 right now, I think for me, with tracking, it's very tricky. So you have to give or take, for me anyway, 20 million. So I think right now, $140 million opening weekend is a pretty safe bet for Justice League. But even if it is 140 million, even that I think is too low for a movie that has Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, The Flash, and probably even The Green Lantern.
I agree. It should be at least a $200 million weekend. If this is supposed to be this huge, huge thing that's competing with the Avengers, which before the Avengers came out, Justice League was the actually well-known superhero team, and you have three of the biggest superheroes known to mankind, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, it's kind of ridiculous that it's not, and I do think it's not that great that it's going that high, but we also know why, because the last Wonder Woman I thought was good, but the three before that were complete and utter shit, and it really pissed me off. And so people are skeptical. I think that's what it is. So, I mean, and this is where bad word of mouth and bad reviews and just
take its toll.
Bad movie experiences, they do take its toll. So it might have legs if it ends up being good. If it doesn't end up doing good, then I don't expect that great of box office numbers.
But I think it's still an open question on many different things when it comes to Justice League. Here's the thing. How is it that, and it may not play out the way in the end, but how is it that Justice League is tracking lower than Thor?
Thor looks pretty neat, though.
Yeah.
And Thor looks pretty fun.
It's directed by Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi.
All of those things resonate with those of us who love film and follow this. But in general, for a general audience, don't you think it's a bit alarming that a movie that has Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Green Lantern, Flash is tracking to make less money in its opening weekend than a movie that just has Thor and Hulk?
Well, yeah.
Who would have thought that? First of all, let's look at the marketing here. There's no comparison. The marketing for the Thor film, Thor Ragnarok, has been so much better than the Justice League marketing. Yeah, I just think the marketing doesn't really compare. I think the marketing for Justice League, to be honest with you, has been kind of maligned and kind of been a misfire. I mean, I think there have been some hits, but it's been more shaky than stable.
I saw this coming when the Comic-Con trailers both dropped at the same time, and very easily the Thor trailer beat out the Justice League trailer in a matter of views.
Yeah, it got more hits.
Yeah, and it's like this should not be happening, but it was. So
right now it says that Thor Ragnarok is tracking for $125 million opening weekend. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's way above than the other Thor movies open to. There's more excitement for this Thor film, and right now, so I just think it's crazy that Thor is tracking higher than Justice League right now. I don't think that would ever, we would have guessed that would have happened. But continue, Peter.
No. It's kind of hard to add on, because the main thing with this story is you ask yourself, okay, why is this happening? But we all know why it's happening.
Yeah.
It's because they made shitty films and people lost confidence in that. Marvel is consistent. People, you know, like I said, it's all about having a guaranteed good time at the movie theater. With Marvel, they feel they can trust purchasing that ticket. DC, that trust is kind of wavered. So
even after Wonder Woman.
Even after Wonder Woman. Because, what's it called? Justice League looks more like BVS than Wonder Woman.
You don't make good film and then all the other ones are gone. You're just like, well, they still did other poopy ones, so like...
Well, yeah. Tell that to the Hollywood elite, okay?
I'm gonna get molested, fuck that.
Apparently Hollywood completely absolved the crimes of the DCEU the minute Wonder Woman was released, because it was such an awakening of something, I don't know.
Tell them, Alexis, you're part of the elite.
No, yeah, sure, I'm part of the elite. Tell me, Peter... Even if it does open to 150, 160 even, wouldn't that in itself still be a disappointment? Because this is a movie that should still make over 200.
Theoretically, yeah. It really, really should. Don't yawn, god damn it.
No, we're all yawning. Oh my god, because it's 12 at night.
I know.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it will be. But because those set projections were so low, the fact that it got bumped up to 160, people will be like, oh, look at, awesome. It's like, eh, whatever. And also, this film is pretty damn expensive, because they basically had to reshoot a lot of it.
Twice. Yeah. They basically had two rounds of reshoots with two directors, and so much. I don't believe for a second the movie has been finished editing at this point. I think they're still
working out the film.
And it's like what, less than a month away?
Yeah.
Less than a month away. The embargo, for those who are not in the know, the embargo is when the critics drop their reviews, and once the embargo is lifted, usually if a movie studio has confidence in their film, they will lift the embargo ahead of time. What WB always seems to do this, but it's not a good thing for them. The embargo will be lifted on the 15th of November, the day before it comes out in theaters, Justice League. Come on, that can't be. Well, it could be either way at this point, but that does not look good either way.
Pull a fast one on us.
Honestly, I just think the WB doesn't know what makes a good film, so they're afraid because they thought that I think they knew Suicide Squad was a piece of crap, but they genuinely thought BVS was going to be this humongous hit for them. And I think they were really taken aback by how shitty the reception they got to it. And with Wonder Woman, I don't think they knew that Wonder Woman was going to be good. I think they were still afraid that they were going to get a negative reception. So I think now they're just have the mentality of better safe than sorry. So,
I mean, it's sad that you can make a movie with Batman versus Superman and then everyone's like, eh.
Yeah. That's the biggest disappointment.
But I think it really goes beyond that. I just feel a lack of excitement for this movie. Like with Thor, I feel everybody is really looking forward to Thor. And Justice League, I just don't feel any kind of enthusiasm. I feel more trepidation and cautiousness toward it.
Plus, it's going to be pretty short. It's only going to be 2 hours.
Isn't Ragnarok going to be shorter than that?
Yeah, but it's not a team movie.
That's interesting, huh? I wonder what they cut out then. Because usually, if that was a Zack Snyder film, which apparently it is, who knows? That would have been a 3-hour cut.
2 hours is going to be nothing but action scenes.
Yeah, and also, it's like what I said back to earlier, the trailers, I'm sorry, but they haven't been very good. It all just looks like the BVS action, but on steroids and what's it called? And Viagra. And what was that concern you said, Peter, that you haven't seen the Justice League save a single human being in any of the trailers? I was...
Yeah, because that's kind of been my issue, especially with BVS and Man of Steel, is just the blatant lack of humanity in those films for a freaking superhero stories.
Well, not just the lack of humanity. There's also been blatant murder.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Your heroes aren't badass unless they just break people's necks like it's nobody's business.
Superman and Batman murdered more people than I think probably Doomsday did in that movie.
That's why I couldn't take Suicide Squad seriously, because I'd rather hang out with the Suicide Squad. Batman and Superman fucking terrify me. Those are the real villains of that superhero show.
They know what they are.
I will see. There is little nuggets that give me hope. Like there is a line.
The Red Sky?
No, not the Red Sky. But there's a line by Batman to Flash, Ezra Miller. And it's when he's like, oh, I'm scared. I don't know what, I've never been to war. And then Batman tells him, like, save one person. You know, just save one person and then tell me what you feel. And stuff. So it's like, oh, okay.
They could go somewhere. They could go somewhere with that. But even then, you haven't seen them really save anybody at all.
Yeah. So they better show that, because that's kind of the whole point of superheroes. It's not the flashy explosions. It's actually
which is why
people.
Wonder Woman was a successful movie.
Yes. That's why people gravitated towards Wonder Woman, because it was actually about giving a shit about someone other than yourself and not being a moody, arrogant asshole like the other ones.
I think they have a problem with, like, the DC movies are trying to make themselves more actiony. I'm guessing. I don't watch them because they seem boring to me. But they try to seem more actiony.
They are boring, by the way.
Yeah, I believe you. And I'll have to watch a few to fall asleep to those.
Eric, they might be a little too slow for you. I'll put it that way.
Oh, I love slow movies. My favorite movie of all time is, like, the slowest movie ever.
Baby Driver?
Yeah. How'd you know, Peter? But, like... Okay, so you see the animated films that they make, the DC Universe, and they're, like, amazing, because they're, like, well thought out, like, writing and shit like that. Like, people love those. But I have a feeling they think that's not going to do good at the box office, and of course they're not going to put shit out like that. I'm pretty sure more people would be more willing to watch something like that than fucking watch Superman fly through buildings while Zod shoots laser beams at him. Like,
while millions are being murdered.
I will find him.
That was the best line of the movie. What? Like, he just screamed it. Like, I don't know. That's like the one part of the movie that I love.
Dude, one.
Do you think there'll be a sky beam and an opening? A sky
God,
beam.
I hope.
You know.
There's already red skies. I feel like there might be.
To the whole DC, we had a couple bits of DC news this week with the director of The Raid directing the new Deathstroke solo film that was also announced, which is also useless and completely unnecessary. And then also they cast Zachary Levi in Shazam, which we still have no idea how that fits into the DCEU. Is there even a DCEU anymore? That's my question. Like, if this movie is going to be so successful, why aren't we seeing any movement on Cyborg or Flash or like anything on Man of Steel 2? Why are we focusing so much on these Batman characters?
To be fair, Cyborg is kind of boring. He's just
Cyborg's kind of boring. I'd rather see a Teen Titans.
You need to see like a Raven with a Robin. Yeah, make a Teen Titans movie.
If Cyborg is kind of, why is he in the Justice League? I don't get it.
Because
he was bumped up for. He was bumped up from the Teen Titans. I don't know.
I
like him better. Oh yeah, he turned 18 and they kicked him out. No, he turned 20 and they kicked him out. No, I like him better with the Teen Titans. As far as the Raid director, that is a great director to get if you want to make like an action film, because the Raid movies are pretty awesome. Do you need a Deathstroke movie? No, I don't want one. Put him in a Batman movie, but it's he doesn't need his own film at all.
Okay, but here's the thing though.
That's a great director.
That's true. But I think I've lost track of the number of movies WB has announced for DC this year.
Oh, yeah. They're not all. That's why I can't even get mad, because it's like, I don't even think you're going to get made. So I kind of don't care.
Well, it looks like Shazam is definitely going to get made.
Oh, yeah. That one's definitely getting made. And that was,
how do you feel about that one?
That's funny, because that's being done by a horror director.
New Line Cinema is doing that, though.
Yeah,
New Line is producing the film.
They're part of WB.
Well, they are, but like they're not associated with any of the DC films. He did Lights Out.
He started off doing short horror films on YouTube, and then his Lights Out short got him the movie. He made that. Right after that, he made Annabelle Creation, and then straight from that, what's it called? Shazam. So like in a matter of like a couple of years, he just bloop bloop bloop. He's at the top.
Okay, so what is Shazam? I don't get this property. I don't know what this character is.
Okay, it's a little boy, Billy Baston. Fuck his name. I don't care. His name's Little Billy, and he finds a wizard, and the wizard like he gives him powers or whatever. Whenever he says Shazam, he turns into a full-grown, basically, Superman knockoff. That's basically what he can fly around. He can use lightning powers. He has a cape and everything. And that's kind of his thing. He says Shazam to go from the little kid to the big Superman-type guy.
How do you feel about the casting of Zachary Levi? Does that fit to you?
I don't know. I only know him from TV, and he's good. He's obviously gonna have to get buff
Chuck.
As shit.
Right. We know him from Chuck. He was the voice of Flynn Rider in Tangled, and I think he also played Thranduil or whatever character in the Warriors Three of the Thor movies, or the second one anyway.
I guess the thing is, can he hold his own against The Rock? Can they be
on
comparable?
The Rock is playing Black Adam. That is confirmed, right?
Which is his nemesis. And I guarantee you he's going to be in the Shazam movie. So, you know, you need someone that The Rock doesn't come in and just take over the film. So I guess that's my biggest worry, is can he hold his own against him?
Okay. Just to wrap this DC thing up, If Justice League comes out and if it disappoints, what comes next?
You mean when it disappoints?
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't watch anything. Well, like, man, they just need to restructure their whole universe at this point, don't you think? Like,
I suspect I'll like it, but I don't know.
It might be good. Didn't Jason Momoa ride like dolphins in the trailer or some bullshit like that? I don't. Maybe no, I'm just imagining.
Parademons or whatever.
No. If he did, yeah, I would already have my ticket.
Like, I was kind of hyped if I saw that. Maybe I was just.
I would be mega hyped. If he comes in. Just on a whole bunch of dolphins?
I thought I saw him riding dolphins like a chariot. I'm wrong. Sorry, guys. Probably just a wave or some BS.
It was a wave.
A Little Mermaid.
Damn it. I just wanted it to be a dolphin, I guess. Okay.
If the movie comes out and it doesn't do so well, nothing changes.
Yeah, it'll just be the same.
Nothing.
It'll be the same.
There'd be no fluctuation whatsoever.
They're going to keep doing the same thing.
You already have Aquaman coming out, and then you're going to have Batman, and then you're going to have Wonder Woman 2, and they're for sure making all of those. And then one of those is going to end up being good, and then it gives audiences enough reason to come back for the next four. So
they just need to be bought by Disney so they can have good writers behind them.
You know, the thing is, Peter, how you said you do suspect you'll like it. You realize every time you say that, it always bites you in the ass when it comes to a DC film.
That's true. But
even though you say you like Wonder Woman, which we'll go into in a minute, you still walked out disappointed by the movie.
It's not necessarily the film's fault of that, but technically, yes. I still liked it, though. I still thought it was a good film.
Okay. Guys, so Wonder Woman is being considered for Best Picture. A lot of people are releasing their Oscar lists, and movies like Get Out are being on there. But also, for whatever reason, Wonder Woman.
Girl power.
Girl power.
There it is. There it is. I mean, is there any denying it at this point? That's why.
Were the slow-mo scenes that great? I don't know. I'm being serious. Like, I didn't see.
No, apparently the Nomad's Land scene was just life changing.
Yeah. World War I was a beast.
It's pretty terrible. Pretty bad. Pretty bad things going on.
What if you're like a French soldier and you see Wonder Woman just deflecting bullets? And you're just like, whoa.
The first thing I would think is like, why is that naked woman doing on the battlefield? Why is she moving in slow motion? What's going on?
Okay, Peter, tell me.
Tell you what?
Why? I mean...
Oh, for... this answer,
I know,
Alexis.
I know, but do you think at this point it is so obvious that it is going to get nominated for Best Picture?
It's good. Oh, it's definitely good. I think at this point it's going to get nominated, for sure.
And how angry will that make you?
Pretty angry. And again, that feels bad because I liked the movie. Like, I enjoyed it. I thought it was the best film easily out of the DCEU. But I think people dramatically overhype the film and pretend as if it's this life-changing experience. When at the end of the day, it was like, oh, that was a good, entertaining time at the movie theater. Not this best picture-worthy film in any right, though. So,
no Logan.
Logan, I don't even know if it should be on the Best Picture list, but it's the only film, comic book film released this year that I think deserves even the slightest discussion of that, and it's not going to get that at all. I just hate when politics gets involved with these things.
But these things are all politics.
Yeah.
Especially the Academy Awards.
That's why
it's all going to be politics.
I don't care about them. Because it's more about what film is most popular and you campaign for it the most.
It's like what John Schnepp said. These award shows are all bullshit.
They are all bullshit. Right. Yeah. So it's... it's whatever.
Nettie, what do you think about this? Because I know you've heard a lot of conflicting things about Wonder Woman.
I think it's what you guys said because of like the hype and all that. Because I did notice that like I, when I did hear the conflicting things, when people really liked it, they like really liked it, like, a lot. Yeah. But
I cried. It's just,
yeah, like, that kind of thing. And, I don't know. I think it has to do with, like, everything that's kind of going on right now. And then,
yeah,
like, that really does make a difference. They'll know, they know that that's kind of a power they can use to make it, like, more up there. You know what I mean?
Well, ask La La Land.
Yeah. About what?
The power of politics. That's the reason why it's not Best Picture right now.
It was Best Picture for 8 seconds, all of 8 seconds.
That was the best 8 seconds of your life.
Yeah, and then it became the worst. Well, how many days has it been since?
It was a wonderful
since?
Night for me.
No, it was not a good night. Nettie, can I just ask you, what is your reaction to all the shit that's flying right now in Hollywood? Do you think anything will actually be done out of it?
There's more being done. Okay, you go first.
No, you go. Go ahead.
I am happy that there's more speaking out about it and that Corey Feldman is not seen as a crazy man anymore.
Wait, is that what you're talking about?
I think that goes along with it. He's getting death threats.
So I mean, that's pretty terrifying.
You know, you're doing something right.
I have some things to say about Corey Feldman. I have so.
Goonies never die.
Is that why? I will say
to get Nettie's. Okay, go ahead, Peter.
With Corey Feldman, I think it's a travesty that like he wasn't listened to earlier because he's been saying this shit forever. And no one would listen to him. But I do think it's weird that he's just not up in releasing names and stuff like that. He's saying,
let me make a movie about it.
Let me make a movie and
put everybody at risk. And,
yeah. And it's like, this is serious. Like this. No, if you want to make a movie, fine. But you should have released names and everything to the internet like
forever
yesterday.
Ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It's I don't know.
It's
that's
bigger
what's
than
kind
that.
Of fishy. Yeah, yeah that's there, what's fishy to me.
There's this big problem with Hollywood like ups doing shit like that. Like there's this petition going around to bring Roman Polanski back into the US.
And Wes Anderson that we on discussed it, before. Yeah.
And Natalie Portman.
We've discussed this before that this is the way things have always been done. And what I wanted to ask Nettie is like, what do you think of the reaction in these past 3 weeks? And do you think it's going to lead to meaningful change in the long run?
I think maybe for a little bit, it'll make people feel comfortable. Like there is changes going on, but then in the end, it's just going to go back to the way it is because
do you think they're just going to be more careful now about how they do it? Like, oh, I got to be secret about how I'm molesting people now.
They're so powerful, like, I don't...
They can just do it in public.
They do whatever the fuck they want, honestly.
I disagree, though.
Really? You think it's going to really change? I mean, I'm sure you won't see it as much.
It's going to be more
but
secret.
But it's still going to be there.
There's going to be Hollywood sex.
Just like drugs. Everywhere. Just like drugs. You can, like...
Well, drugs is very different than the other things that's going on. But, like, for someone as top... is Mr. Hollywood himself, Harvey Weinstein, being brought down... He was brought down because literally everyone came out and spoke out. And I think there is this bigger willingness by actresses and actors to just...
Right.
They're not afraid because past they were afraid.
Even
because
Terry Crews got molested.
Yeah.
He did.
I know it wasn't... Well, okay, yeah.
He got
yes.
sexually assaulted.
Okay, I'm not going to be like...
Harvey Weinstein was brought down. Harvey Weinstein was brought down, but Bill O'Reilly apparently is resurfacing.
Well, right. He's not Hollywood.
That's Fox News. That's a different story. That's a different story, man. I can explain this to you guys, but it's a whole different rabbit hole.
Oh, are you on the inside of the whole conservative bubble? So
I know how they think. Let's put it that way, man. I don't like it, but I know how they think.
I don't think you'll see real change until you see the big two really purged, which is Roman Polanski and what's his name?
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen.
Yeah.
So what you're telling me, Peter, is we gotta kill Woody Allen and Roman Polanski.
No.
Well, look, there's this double standard because Harvey Weinstein. Look, Harvey Weinstein was shamed out of Hollywood, but why is Woody Allen still making films and people are still working
with
him?
People don't know.
Alexis Moreno didn't even know.
She asked me, she's like, I was like, dude, that was like forever ago.
Yeah,
like,
he married his daughter.
But everyone in Hollywood knows. Like, Selena Gomez, I think it was her, just did a movie with freaking Woody Allen.
Yeah. I saw the picture of them. Like,
yeah, and it's chilling. Like, don't pretend to be like hashtag resistance and stand up for women and da 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 da.
And then do business.
And then go and do a film. Yeah,
because associate yourself with that.
So, I think the next step is to start shaming people. Like, you get on Twitter and you start a hashtag and you shame Selena Gomez. Like, you knew who this person was. Why would you work with them? And I think you need to do that because...
Like Quentin Tarantino?
Quentin Tarantino...
Didn't he just say he knew of Harvey Weinstein's behavior?
He had this whole thing. He came out, he said, I knew and I feel so bad and I did the wrong thing. And I do see some change starting. But if it stops right here... then it'll just go back to usual.
Well, that's what I mean. If it's just comfortable like that, then it's not going to go anywhere. But people need to keep going and pushing it.
We're going to come on.
I think that's going to happen, though.
We're going to have the next headline, and everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, remember that Harvey Weinstein thing? Like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Like, I don't think that's true, though, because now the second that you come out, and you have sexual allegations against you, you're done. Like, your career is done.
Unless you're the president of the United States.
Well...
Unless you're the president.
Well, yeah.
Today, yes. Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, the women that accused Donald Trump of sexually assaulting them, they're liars. Mm-hmm. That's what they said. That's the official statement out of the White House. They're liars. Okay. Yeah.
Is this Hollywood?
Like I said, conservatives are a different monster.
That's why shaming them isn't going to fix them.
Oh, no, especially since, come on. Like, all those powerful guys are just like, fuck it, whatever. You didn't catch me. Prove it. Like, I got lawyers. I saddled up. What are you going to do?
But that's the thing. If you publicly shame them and you force their company to kick them out because of those allegations. Mm-hmm. And I see that happening now. You got freaking George H.W. Bush to come out and apologize and all this and stuff like that, even though he's like 152.
He's 152 in a wheelchair with Parkinson's. Yeah. And he doesn't even talk anymore. There's a... Okay.
But even with all that, you still, because of the bad publicity, and it's not like he has a job to lose or anything, you still got him to come out and apologize, and it's still this whole, like, how fucking dare you and stuff like that. That's good. That means that there's... I do think there's actual change happening, but it can't stop. Mm-hmm. It needs to keep going.
I don't think it's fair that you can just come out and be like, sorry, and then that's cool.
Though. It's not cool. No, people aren't being like,
no, I know. I know it's not. No, I know. But like, oh, yeah, that's a whole. Oof. We're getting there.
Good luck, Justice League. Good luck. That's really helping you out.
Hey, Ben Affleck. What about that one time Jason Momoa made a rape joke? Like, isn't that just as bad?
You know, Harvey Weinstein's a producer on Justice League.
Oh.
And there's also Joss Whedon.
Oh.
So, yeah. You know, these things really do happen. But I also wanted to ask, because we were having the early conversation about politics in Hollywood, not just with these allegations that are blowing up. But do you think we'll ever see this culture of a politics-dominated Academy Awards change? Or politics driving the actual nominees? Because I know that Peter, Nettie, myself, Kyle, we all have our own issues with the Academy Awards and what is recognized and what is not. And I think for the most part across the board, we're all generally unhappy with how things are decided and how things are run. How, do you think that culture will ever change?
No. Wherever you see power, there's going to be politics.
You're always going to greet some palms. Like, hey, yo, buddy, you got me? I got you. Like, something has to be, like, extremely so fucking good that everyone else is just like, yeah, I can't deny it. It's really good for them to be like...
So Wonder Woman.
Yeah. That slow-mo scene.
Stop.
Which one?
Which one?
The whole movie. No, but I honestly, that's just because Hollywood is very powerful. Any place where you see power, politics are going to play into that organization. Whether it's actual Washington in politics, churches, Hollywood,
Wall Street, and
sports,
Wall Street, anything. That's just the nature of power.
Okay. Can we get into the early reactions for Coco, the brand new Pixar animation film coming out?
You mean the Book of Life too?
Nettie, did you want to go ahead and start off with that?
I'm really excited. I know Peter's not.
What are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to about this movie?
The dog.
The dog.
Yeah. See, I told you.
No, I'm excited because it's like, I know it's really cheesy, but because like the whole cultural thing, and I don't give a shit about, I'm sorry, if it's like Book of Life, because I don't think it's going to be exactly like that just because it has Dia de los Muertos. It's more like the feeling that I get when I saw the trailer and everything, and like I showed my grandma, and she has Cholos Cuincles, so she was like super excited about it, and she wants to go see it, and it's more like that. Like, because we have the connection to the culture, and it's like, oh, right. And yeah.
So you're okay with Disney culturally appropriating your heritage?
Not all right.
Oh, my God.
They did it to Mulan.
They did it right, because they went over there, they did their research, they're about it.
No, yeah, I like Disney, how they're very good at, like, doing their stereotypes.
Now. Yeah, like Pocahontas.
Yeah. Proud native.
No, I think what Nettie said is actually very important. I can think is actually kind of key to the success of the film, because this is a story and a culture that doesn't get represented much in film at all. And I think it's actually kind of exciting, honestly, really emotional for those of us who are in this culture to actually see this be on screen and see how this, honestly, the trailers have been so good. They really have been. And I'm really looking forward to this. And I know that our own Moreno has been crying over this. Anytime she goes to Disney and sees these displays.
You people are so emotional. Kyle cries, Nettie, Moreno cries, Nettie, Alexis cries.
I cried for this, I'm not gonna lie.
Nettie cries. Eric, do you cry?
Not at movies like that. Just not trailers.
Baby Driver?
Baby Driver made me cry to sleep. It was so good.
Nettie, what do you feel of those who say that this is just a ripoff of the Book of Life?
Those, I understand. Call me out.
That's not a bad thing.
No, I understand what you mean, because I thought that at first too. I was like, oh, it's just going to be like that. But then, like, I don't know.
Now there's a dog.
No, there's a dog!
Dude, I swear, if there's a cat in the movie, this is Nettie's favorite movie of all time.
Stop.
There's a dog and a cat.
Let me tell you the story. He's going to go to the other side, and then he's going to see all his family. Is going to be in shenanigans, and then he's going to meet his original... And then he's going to teach him to follow your dreams and be a musician. And then he's going to come back and he's going to be like, a musician. How wonderful.
Peter's right, because everything that they've said about how the story's going to be is going to be very, like, straightforward.
I know.
But it's going to be more visual and cultural based. So maybe
it's going to be Mexican.
But yeah. No, but the art is better. I like the art. The animation. Like, it's just... I don't know.
The animation is beautiful. I agree.
If they're eating menudo in it, 10 out of 10.
There was... Okay, but in the trailers, like, the jokes and stuff, like, when they brought out the chancla and things like that, like, simple little things that the Book of Life didn't do, little things like that, it makes a difference.
No chancla.
No chancla. No, but, like, I feel like it's going to be... It's going to be, like, different in its own way. It'll be... Yeah, Dia de los Muertos, everything's kind of the same, so no shit.
I just feel like, why in popular culture are Mexicans just the Day of the Dead?
I think they're just using that because
it's
colorful.
That's the most popular one.
It's colorful.
So apparently The Walking Dead came out this past
week. Who cares?
Exactly.
The Talking Dead.
Really? Do you just watch The Talking Dead instead of watching The Walking Dead? Just tune in to hear about it?
Honestly, I just watch to see what happens. But honestly, like, I had it on mute like half the time. This is the premiere of the 8th season, the 100th episode. It was boring. It was really just boring. And the big story here is that it had the lowest viewers for a premiere or an episode, really, in 5 years. This should have been the point where they could have, I don't know, saved what they had left and moved on. But it just seems to me that this is probably going to be the same old, same old. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I want to watch it anymore. I honestly, season 7 left such a bad taste in my mouth. I watched this to see if anything improved. It didn't. It didn't at all.
Well, let me just say, I told this to you years ago when you obviously got butthurt when I said that, and then when everything comes true. Well, when the show
was
better,
Peter, I don't have to get butthurt for everything, okay? The show was better back then, so I don't know if you can probably just say I wasn't right for a goddamn second. Perhaps you can actually talk about what I asked you in the first place.
Well, one day when I'm wrong, I'll let you know.
Oh, you have been wrong. By the way, Ezra is not Snoke.
That's fake news. Fuck you. That's fake news.
That's not fake news. That's fake news. Dave Filoni said so, and that's what you get for ripping on Rebels. Dave Filoni
is a liar. No, that is fake news.
No, it is not true. It is official Lucasfilm that is the truth, and you have been wrong.
Okay, we'll wait December 18th, 15th.
It's like, they've been
It is what it is.
They've been walking for like 8 seasons now. Like, can they stop? Like, when's it going to end?
How's Kyle doing with all this?
He probably loves it.
He didn't even watch it. Oh, what? He didn't watch it. No, he was doing an audio commentary with Peter the same night it premiered. He doesn't even talk about it.
Me.
And if he actually cared, he would have told
that's
me.
That's what you know.
Some things got a little too real.
This show, it sucks because it has a really great production value. I think it has some good actors, but I think where it suffers is the writing. A lot of the times they don't know what to do with the characters, and then they won't go down storylines that they should, and then they'll take too long with others that they shouldn't. The characters go through the exact same storylines over and over and over again and learn nothing, and then when they feel they're losing viewership, they just kill someone off. So it sucks because I really enjoyed the first few seasons of The Walking Dead, but I really felt like they lost their footing and they never got it back.
All right, so we're going to end off with very quickly, probably very simple. Guys, is there any question which movie in November will make the most money?
Justice League.
Justice League? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. This has been a podcast, 73. I think it's 73. I don't know what I'm doing with my life anymore. I want to thank Nettie and Eric for being here. This was something. I also want to thank Peter, I guess. I should have gone to the family museum. All right, guys. Well, I also want to also remember you. I can't talk anymore. I really can't talk. There are shows on this podcast, on this network. There's so many podcasts, Fantasy Fair, To the Table, the podcast channel. They'll be up when they're up, you know. And if you want more Nettie, she'll be on Make the Love Last, whatever it's called, making the videos.
Why don't you ask her to plug it?
She really doesn't care, unless you want to, Nettie.
No, we're good.
Okay, Make the Love Last on YouTube.
We're good.
Go find it.
One more content is available.
You can find me crying myself to sleep tonight. So, this has been Red Spotlight. Thank you all. That's true. Thank you for listening, because somebody has to.
Shout out to you, David.
David, number
David.
One. Baby Frank.
Zephyr, why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide.
So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. But I know they're wrong. Wait and see.
Someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection. Lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Wow, I wish I could sing like you.
Who said that every wish would be heard and answered? Who wished on the morning star?
Well, you know, somebody just thought of that, and someone believed it. And look what it's done so far, you know?
What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing?
someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell, we know that it's probably magic. Yeah. Have you been half asleep, and have you heard voices?
I've heard them calling my name.
Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailor?
The voice might be one and the same.
I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and